This is a CK2Z news update.
Rural Islands Economic Partnership hosted an insightful virtual meeting focused on local food resilience on February 22nd as part of their monthly Connection Cafe series. The bulk of the event was a panel discussion between six representatives from various Gulf islands who formed a group of, quote, rural island farmers, food producers, and food resilience champions, end quote. The overarching theme of the event was to bring folks together in order to share ideas and success stories. This need for collaboration was echoed throughout the conversation as being especially important at a time when disconnection is felt particularly keenly under the global pressures of the pandemic and decreasing food security. The speakers varied in their level of optimism for the future. Nick Jones from the Salt Spring Agricultural Alliance sees this moment as an opportunity.
I'm probably overly optimistic in the face of all that's going on, but I think the more crises that appear in our collective sphere, the more people are learning to respond, and just the number of different initiatives and conversations and people that are starting to wake up to the importance of food and increasing our food resilience and connection through food is amazing. So there's nothing like a crisis to get people motivated.
And yet, the challenges are certainly also looming large.
It's bloody hard work, and there's not enough of us doing it. It's incredibly difficult to compete with the economies of scale and the economies of foreign distributed supply chains. I think the quest to create more self-sufficiency, local community food resilience is huge, because to grow on these islands and the type of climate that we have without using a lot of mechanized machinery and resorting to the destructive practices that churn out empty calories in the masses, I think it takes a lot of human labor, and there's a steep learning curve. If you have a bad season, that's a whole year of farming that you can't just replant those seeds right away. And so the startup costs, the capital requirements are tremendous. I think really my hope lies in the desire to learn how to grow food again. That's what kind of compels me to think that we might figure a way out of this, because food is so central. Everybody needs to eat. And so if we're starting to see shortages in the grocery stores and shortages in our food system, then it's time to figure out how we can support those people who want to grow, but maybe don't know how, haven't done it as much, to have ways to pick up the pace as the crisis unfolds. And how we do that is, I think, multifaceted, but yeah, it's time to get organized so that as food supplies become more tenuous, we're able to respond in a good way.
Two specific issues that are prevalent across the region are the shortage of land and housing accessibility. Emma Davis, who has worked with the Galliano community food programs for 10 years, said that although
I don't think anybody gets into growing food who doesn't have a sort of optimistic nature, I think growing is a fundamentally hopeful act. And I am hopeful about the enthusiasm that has been kind of groundswelling around where food comes from and how to be more sustainable.
But she also has a significant amount of,
I wouldn't say pessimism, that's too strong, but a little bit of realizing that some folks are coming to this conversation and they are slamming their head against the same walls that we've been hitting for the years that we've been doing this work. And that's a little bit discouraging. And I feel more of a sense of how the food justice movement fits into bigger issues around poverty and housing. And those, I can't solve those by myself.
Graham Bradley from the Gabriela Chamber of Commerce and Gabriela Food Hub weighed in on these issues as well.
I see land get turned into horses and hay for leisure more often in the last few years than I do into people that are actually going to grow any reasonable amount of food. I think what's missing is people who are aiming at being mid-sized growers. I think we need to have lots of small growers, but it's a really hard go. It's really hard to make a living when you're doing that. And to be able to have the skill level to scale up to something that's medium scale to actually meet supplies of our islands, I think is challenging. And to do so, you would need to have solid land access and solid housing, both of which are difficult to come by on Gulf Islands. And if you can't have those solid footings, why are you going to put food in the ground?
When asked if he had any wild ideas that could seed a dream into reality, he offered this.
One idea that I've been pushing a lot myself is the idea of removing agricultural land from market value. I know if you have farm status or you're in the ALR, agricultural land reserve, your land is worth less on paper on your BC assessment, but it doesn't mean that the sales value of it is worth less. So I think organizations like, we've just got a brand new land trust, Gabriel Island Land Steward Society, that is in a position to catch land. And by that, I mean they would steward the land and offer leases to people doing agricultural projects like farming. I think Nick mentioned if you have a bad year and you can't make your mortgage payments, it's just a huge weight to carry for the price of land. So my idea is actually move some agricultural lands out of market value and create a different access system. I think we all know there's a fairly older population on the Gulf Islands, and maybe they would be in a position to leave some of their land to organizations like land trusts to hold them with maybe covenants or something like that. There's some mechanism. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm sure there are ways to facilitate that, to create better land access opportunities, more secure long ones that don't strangle farmers.
More discussion followed on what is currently supported by the systems that govern food production and distribution. Nick Jones from the Salt Spring Agricultural Alliance.
I think a lot about the economic system that we find ourselves stuck in, and in many ways, how unfair it is to supporting local and regenerative ways of living and growing food. I see the subsidies that happen for conventional agriculture, for fossil fuels, for destroying the ecosystem, and how so much money is put into propping up these industries that are not wholesome. So the thought has come to me is, well, why couldn't we subsidize good quality food? Why couldn't we subsidize local food? There's a tremendous amount of knowledge and passion, and let's not kid ourselves, there is a lot of wealth here on these islands. And I think collectively, there's every possibility that we could create a model that subsidizes our own local food revolution, so that instead of having to compete with this system that just pumps billions of dollars into offloading poor quality, environmentally destructive, socially inequitable food into our grocery stores, what if we could prop up our own local food systems with a fund of some sort that's able to incentivize for local growers, for people to earn a living wage, something that actually they can feel secure that they'll have income for their efforts growing food and feeding their community.
On that topic, Philippe Figuera from Cortez Community Economic Development Association chimed in.
Maybe if you subsidized local restaurants, local stores through some kind of provincial, federal thing, where if they bought locally, they would be offered some kind of subsidy. So I think that would be fairly easy to implement because it just clearly encourages local consumption of locally produced stuff. And I don't know if that's something that if you lobbied together with a whole bunch of food producers from Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands, that would have any traction. But that's often occurred to me as a way of maybe just evening up the playing field for people.
Ed Andrzejczyk from the South Gulf Islands Food Resilience Alliance talked about a reframing that needs to happen.
The whole idea of a values proposition underlying a whole new approach to how we do things in terms of short supply chains, I think that's where you need to start the community conversation. It's, you're not buying a head of lettuce from your local farmer, you're buying a community.
Finally, there were a number of ideas around encouraging non-commercial growers to participate in the supply. The sixth panel member, Nancy Goodman from the Gulf Islands Food Co-op, described a project that
is a produce sales table at the Saturday markets on the Gulf Islands. Growers can just bring their food to the market, drop it onto the table, priced, and have it sold on their behalf, and then just come back and collect their profits at the end, which has really started to encourage very small growers to participate in the local food economy. And it's also the other aspect of all the work we do is just connection. So getting those growers to know each other, and that each of them are all playing a major role with their basket of zucchini or their box of tomatoes. So that's been a really fun one.
Similar possibilities discussed were shared farm stands, coordinated marketing, an app that would take payment from buyers on behalf of any participating growers, and even connecting community members for direct trades of excess produce.
every year you have way too many tomatoes and every year I have way too many plums. Can we just like switch some up and start trading? And maybe it doesn't have to be part of the money system. Maybe it is just as much about building community as it is about supplying food into the bigger system.
The Rural Islands Economic Partnerships free monthly virtual connection cafes are held around a different topic each month. The next one, called Rural Islands Destination Pledge, Balancing Protection and Tourism, is scheduled for March 29th. Get more information and sign up on their website, which is ruralislandspartnership.ca.
CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.